Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah chapter 33. We're going to read one verse in unison together tonight. Jeremiah chapter 33. And we are going to read verse number 3 together in unison. I'll give everybody a chance to get there. Mrs. Lopez is the last one. She lost the sword drill. All right, Jeremiah chapter 33, verse number 3. Ready? Here we go. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And let's pray. Father, you surely have answered that verse to us already. I pray that as we open your word and investigate it tonight, that we would listen and learn so that we could gain more of your blessing, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It is. Maybe that's what the problem is. I don't know, but I just turned it on. But we'll see what happens here. Pardon? Yeah, we'll find out. We live in a day of no long-distance phone calls, Skype, FaceTime, email, text, iMessage, and Twitter. This generation knows nothing about waiting to see film developed, to see a picture, or needing a calling card or calling collect for a long-distance call. You can tell I'm old, right? This generation knows little about books with actual pages, and if they had to use the Dewey Decimal System, they wouldn't know what to do. A phone call used to be a special thing. Getting a letter in the mail was such a big deal that kids used to jump up and down if mom and dad let them open the junk mail, especially if it was from Publishers Clearinghouse and you could use all the stickers to stick your brother to the wall with or something, you know? We have instant access to everyone, everywhere, and information at the touch of our fingers. Communication, where people actually talk, is almost foreign. Matter of fact, people don't even like phone calls anymore. Relationships struggle because people just don't talk anymore. God tells us here in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto him. I want you to notice the word call. It means call out to talk to. God wants us to talk to him. He wants us to be close enough to him and he to us that we not only talk, but that we want to talk. I don't know about you. I like talking with my wife. I enjoy talking with her. Now, I don't mind texting her throughout the day or whatever and vice versa, but I like talking to her. Now, God doesn't want Facebook, email, or texts by us. He wants to talk to us. My title of my sermon is Call, Don't Post on Facebook to God. God does not, you cannot Facebook God. Did you know that? Now, you can put your face in his book and have him speak to you, but you can't Facebook him. I'm not totally against Facebook. I don't think it's necessarily if you have Facebook that you're of the devil. But I will say this, it's getting into the realm of it's very difficult to control, for sure. I'm not against it. I'm just not entering into that world. I'm a little too public of a person to want everybody to know what I do. And honestly, I wouldn't have time to sit there and do what some people, I mean, some people can't go eat a meal or go to the potty without putting it on Facebook. I'll be right back, you know. Okay, way too much information here. Way too much. We have people that watch people's Facebook accounts to find out when you're going on vacation so they can rob your home. It's unreal what people do. I had some little college guy tell me, well, Pastor Bush, I couldn't find your church on Facebook. I said, you won't. He said, well, you can't build a church without Facebook. I said, shh, don't tell my people that. I said, we've only had a little over 2,000 people saved. Don't tell God that. And he was amazed. You know, God doesn't want us. He has so much that he wants to give us, but we just got to talk to him to get it. Notice God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Watch this, and. show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, God has done so much for this church. He's answered so many of our needs and our requests and our prayers. And I'm not just talking about us as a church. I'm talking about us as individuals. Apparently, we've got a short in the wire somewhere. We'll get it later, Brother Barnes. I'm talking about individually needs. I remember when Wiley's dad, they thought he had a heart attack and ended up being just his gallbladder. I remember Brother Fred, he was supposed to die God knows how many times already, and he's just too stubborn to do it. And I could go on and on. Mrs. Lopez with some cancer issues, and God gave her the least of the worst, amen, and something very fixable. And others in here. Can I tell you something? God wants to hear from us as individuals as much as he wants to hear from us as a church. Let me let you in on something. When we get our new church property, when we have a sign out there, it's not going to say 9:45 Sunday school and 10:45 worship service. It's going to say church service. There's no such thing as public worship. You won't find one public worship service in that book right there. We have turned church into worship. That's denominationalism.
Yes, sir.
That's not a scriptural term. Worship is something you do one-on-one with God. Worship is adoring God and thanking him for what he is. It's not a matter of, and there is no such thing as praise and worship in the Bible as one service as a group of people.
Yes, sir.
Are we doing okay? Now, tonight, I not only want to thank God for his answer to our prayers here as a church, but I want to challenge you to keep talking to him. Can I tell you something? I've learned something about God. He likes to prove how big he is. He likes to prove how wonderful he is. He likes to, and he can do it because he can do it without sin, but he likes to show off a little bit. You know, it's not wrong for God to show off because he doesn't have any sin. He has the right to show off. And he doesn't do it to rub it in our face, but look what God's done for this church already, just today. There is no reason in the world God should have done to Grace Baptist Church what he's done other than we've obeyed him and talked to him and begged him, and look what he did. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He said, call unto me, I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We needed 30,000. We asked God for 30,000. God gave us $35,185. Man said he'd give us 60,000 if we raised it. I told him how much we raised. He came back and said, well, I'll give you 5 more thousand then. Since you raised more, I'll give you more.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's God giving us, calling unto him, answering and giving us great and mighty things which we know not. Can I tell you something? God enjoys doing that. Say, why did it happen? We spent time praying. We spent time asking him. Now, let me give you just, three or four statements here, and I'm honestly going to be done. Number one, prayer is us calling on God to help us with a need. Prayer literally means ask. That's what it means. Did you? God is not a welfare God that we ask and he does all the work, though.
Yes, sir. That's right.
We have this mentality in Christianity that we've developed from our government that, well, I asked God for it and I didn't get it, so God's not fair to me. Hello. Who said God had to do it just because you asked? Man, I asked my mom and dad for a lot of things I never got. That's why I'm so warped, all right? But just because I asked did not mean I was going to get it. God shows his answer. God will show it through the Bible. God will show it through godly counsel. And God will show it through the Holy Spirit. He will make it known that he is answering your prayers. Somebody years ago asked me, he said, Brother Bush, how do you know what the will of God is? I said, I can't tell you how you'll know, but I can tell you that you'll know when it's not. I said, he'll make it very obvious to you that it's his will. When Moses led the people out of Egypt, he knew it was God's will. He had just gone through 10 plagues. A burning bush that didn't get consumed talked to him. It was the voice of God. Then he got the people out of Egypt. They stood there at the Red Sea. Everybody's about to kill him. He's got the army behind him. He's got the Jews mad at him because they're penned in. And he said, okay, God, now what? And he said, let me show you what I can do. He said, raise your rod, Moses. Raised his rod. The seas pulled back in a heap on either side. They crossed over on dry ground. The Egyptians came across, and God drowned them all. Now, I can't tell you that Moses knew exactly what God's will was, but he knew what it wasn't. He knew when it was God's will. Can I tell you something? We know it's time to build. Amen. God kicked her in gear, kicked us right into it. And may I say this, all the struggling we've done, the struggles aren't over. There's going to be more. Can I tell you something? The devil's not happy. Amen. The devil's mad, and I am glad. I know we're going to face the devil some more. It's all right. It doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. But may I say this, we're going the right direction. God made it very obvious. We get our answers to prayer through the Bible. That means you got to read it. That means you got to hear it preached. That we get it through godly counsel. You ought to come to the preacher and get some advice every once in a while. We get it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you through the Word of God. What is right? What is wrong? God is not obligated to pay your bill just because you have a bill. I hate saying that. You know, sometimes we spend money we shouldn't spend. And because of that, God says, okay, struggle. Ugh. He may give you overtime to work and pay your bill. He may somehow, but just because you said, okay, God, I need $175 to pay my electric bill, God, you got to put it in the mail. God's not obligated to do that. God may choose another route, and he might tell you it's time to do something different. Amen? He may show you how to cut your spending instead of spending it on things you don't need. You know, a lot of us, if we would track our money, we'd find out how much money we really don't need to spend. But God's not obligated to pay it. Now, listen to this statement. I want you to live this way. Living by faith is us doing all we can the way God tells us to do it and letting Him do the rest. Living by faith is us doing all we can the way God said to do it and letting Him take care of what we cannot do. Living by faith isn't this easy believe. I believe God can do it. Yeah, I believe God can do it too. The devil believes and trembles. It's not a belief. Faith is, God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a courtroom. Evidence means you've done something. You've worked towards a goal and done all you could do. The evidence is proven you've done all you can do. And then God brings in the rest of it. See, we're supposed to do it, but not just do it our way. Do it God's way. When we do it His way and we've done all we can do, God says, let me show you what I can do now. Business person after business person told me, don't buy that property. You don't have a loan, don't buy that property. You don't have a loan, don't buy that property. We bought the property because God wanted us to take the next step. We got an architect, we got engineers, we got things going. I sat through a planning commission meeting in Jefferson County and got everything pre-approved. You say, why? Because we were doing all we could do. We shrunk our debt and shrunk our bills and shrunk everything we had except our bodies. We've done all we know to do. And God says, okay, you've kept doing what you're supposed to do. Now let me show you what I can do. All of a sudden, God kicked in $45,000 for the property. And then God threw the challenge out for us to go ahead and raise money. And more money came in if we did it. And God's done that. Now we've got banks. I got four banks vying for a loan. Before we were begging, now we're shopping. You know, there's a difference between begging and shopping. Yes, sir. There's a big difference. There's a little confidence there that God can do it. Can I tell you something? That's called living by faith. You do all you can do. Do it God's way, and then God can bless. God wants us to talk to him about our needs. But he also, listen to this, but he also wants us to listen to his answers. Just because we tell him our side of it doesn't mean we're done. We got to listen to what his side of it is. I remember my dad, first car I bought a 1966 Mercury Comet with a 289 V8 in it. Man, that was a sweet car. That car was quick. It was fast. Midnight blue. It was dark blue. Oh, that was a great car. I think I paid $550 for it, $650 for it. This is back in 1980, none of your business. But it was a nice car. My brother looked at it. I looked at it. My dad said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, Dad, this is the car I want." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Okay." He said, "Your car. Go buy it." My dad never looked at it. I never took my dad to go look at it. I bought the car. I bought it a couple weeks before I turned 16. My brother had to drive it home because I wasn't allowed to drive it yet. Oh, that was a killer. I hated that. Got it home. I washed it, waxed it, got it all polished up, got everything tweaked on that thing. Well, I got my license a couple weeks later. Man, I couldn't wait to drive that car. Started driving that car. It was one of the first years Ford put a unibody in a car. I didn't know that the front right part of the unibody was rusted out. You'd step on the brake and the steering wheel would go like this. You'd have to hold on to it. Ended up having to get a quarter-inch angle iron and redoing the part of the unibody just to hold the car together so it didn't fall apart. Whole front end of the car fall off. I didn't tell my dad I'd done 120 mile an hour in that thing. The whole thing could have fell apart. It was bad. My dad said, "I told you, are you sure you should have bought that? You're going to put an awful lot of work into that thing, and it's still not worth driving." Oh, that was a knife in my back. Well, the engine was worth that much money. Those little 289s are worth a lot of money. You couldn't kill those engines. So I decided I put enough work into it, enough money into it. It's time to sell it. So I sold it. I got just about out of it, what I put into it. And I told the guy, I said, "Look, you need to tow this thing. The unibody shot." I mean, when we jacked it up, back about where the doors are, we jacked it up and the front end, the middle of the car went up and the front end went like this. It was not good. I went, "Ooh, I've been driving that from Canton to Massillon on Route 30 going, this is not good." I didn't feel like driving real fast after that. And I told the guy, I said, "Look, you probably ought to tow it." I said, "It's really not in good shape." He said, "I'll drive it, and if it falls apart, it falls apart. I'm just going to use it for parts anyway." Promise you, he only got about 3 or 4 blocks away and came back and had to use the phone because it fell apart. He had to go call a wrecker, pick it up, and put it on a truck. And he wasn't mad. I told him the truth. I gave him. Now, the next car I bought, I took my dad. I said, "Dad, help me pick a car out." He allowed me to make a mistake. Didn't make those mistakes anymore. It was my mistake to make. I didn't listen to him. Now, God doesn't always answer just because you ask. Don't get mad at God if you don't get the answer you're looking for. God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Sometimes no is to protect you, to give you something better than what a yes was. Okay, don't get mad at me. I didn't tell my wife I was going to say this. But before I dated her, I dated one other girl. And I went home. I said, "Dad, how do you know that when you're dating the right person?" He said, "You asking me or telling me?" I said, I'm asking." He said, and he happened to be at the college at the time. He said, "Drop her like a hotcake, quick." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Forget it." He said, if you have to ask me, she's not the right one. You come back to me when you tell me she is the right one. Didn't make sense to me, but he'd been married forever. I said, okay. I didn't date the girl anymore. When I met my wife, I didn't have to ask my dad if it was the right one. When I went and told my dad, he said, if you let go of that one, you're stupid. And I didn't let go, amen? Now, I didn't understand his answer, but I followed his answer. And because I followed his answer, I got the best of the things. That's the way it is with God. Realize that God and the preacher see farther down the road sometimes than you do. You know, God sees farther down the road than I do. In general, I can see farther down the road than the average person because I've dealt with more people. Wally and I crack up because she doesn't understand how I understand the medical world like I do. But she doesn't realize I've seen almost as many patients as some of the doctors she's worked with. I really have. I laugh when Mung says, well, preacher, you have a doctor. You're not that kind, but I've spent as much time in one as one of those. It's just something that God gives the man of God, the ability to see a little farther down the road. Yeah. Now, it's not holy reverend either. Sometimes you got to realize God sees down the road a little farther, and sometimes if you start down that road, you're going to crash. And God doesn't want you to. Number two, I got to hurry. Let's never put a ceiling on God. Amen. Don't ever put a ceiling on God. Can I tell you what the average Christian does? God may want to give you more than you're asking for, but because you're so specific in what you ask, you never give him a chance to do more for you. Dad, I want that car. Can I have it? Are you sure? Yes. So I got that car. It wasn't the car I should have got. I could have had so much more with a whole lot less grief. So many times we put God in a box and say, okay, God, this is how you have to answer me. And if you don't answer that way, then it's not right. Don't put God in a box. Amen. Don't put a ceiling over God. I'm going to go to my grave saying this, hopefully not too soon, but I don't think it's wise for young people to surrender to any one part of the ministry if they're going to go into the ministry. I don't think a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or even a 15-year-old, I don't think a teenager has enough sense to know what the rest of their life is going to hold. I think they ought to surrender to do whatever God wants them to do and not specify. I know people that surrendered to the mission field at 5 years old because their heart was moved at a missions conference somewhere, and they get to Bible college and they're doubting their call, and then they end up screwing up their life because they know they're not really supposed to go to the mission field, but they did it and they feel obligated to do it. And then they're as confused as can be. Everybody doing all right? Don't put a ceiling on God. If you think God wants you to go into full-time service, great. Don't tell God what it is. I didn't surrender to pastor when I was 13 years old when I started preaching. I thought I was going to go to Mexico and be a missionary. Then I wanted to be an assistant pastor. And I was for about 22 years. And I said, I even have it in print in a book that I wrote. It's going to take a stick of dynamite for God to tell me to pastor. I didn't know he was going to use a case of C4, but he did. Blew me right out of the saddle. But I knew it was what God wanted when the time came. But I never told God I wouldn't do it either. I never put a ceiling on God. Everybody understand that? Don't get so specific that God can only answer you one way. Sometimes you forfeit more blessings by doing that. Give God the option to do what he wants. You know, if we've... And please let me be... personal for a second. If we only prayed for 30,000, God would only gave us 30,000. But we prayed for God to do whatever he wanted. We needed at least 30,000. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Had a man offer us 60,000 if we gave 30. I had a businessman this week says, hey, if you've raised more than 30, tell that guy to give you match it. I said, no, if God wants him to match it, God will tell him. God told him. And he matched it. I didn't say anything. But I didn't ask God to do it either. I just said, God, you give us what we need. I don't even know what we need. I know we need at least this much, but if there's more out there, we'll take it. God, if you're wanting us to have more, we'll take it. Right now, I'm asking God, in reference to a bank, I'm asking God to give us the best deal and the people that will work with us the best. I don't want to put up with a bunch of cranky old bankers. Everybody doing all right? Did you ever meet those cranky people that are at the bank? You know, the ones that with the crooked nose and crooked finger to match because the finger goes up in and gets stuck. You know, I don't want to deal with a bank like that. I want to deal with somebody who wants to do business and help God's work.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I just believe in that. I got to hurry up here. We need to ask God for what we need or want, but we need to leave the door open for him to do more. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. I want to show you a verse. Bible says this: Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give to your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Did you know that when you ask God and do things his way, the Bible says he'll give to you good measure, pressed down, shake it together, filling in all the cracks till it starts running over. I want God to bless our church that way. I want God to bless you that way. But if you only say, God, I need this much, you put a ceiling on God, he's only going to give you that much. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang in there. So God wants us to not put a ceiling on God. Don't limit God with how little you ask him for, though. Keep asking. Keep asking. But may I say this, when he gives, be thankful and thank him for it, too. I'm very thankful right now. I'm very humbled. I'm very humbled at what God's doing. And it's not me, it's you. It's him. It's just like I preached this morning. Everybody's going to know it's God, not us. It's God, not us. Lastly, please listen to this statement. You stay successful the way you got successful. You stay successful the way you got successful. Make a statement here. We can continue the miracle by us keep talking to him and asking him for it. Amen. He's not done yet, I don't believe. Do you? I believe he can do more. Amen. I don't know how, but I know he can. These teams that getting ready for the playoffs and going into the playoffs, it always bothers me. Last week or so of the season, they start sitting their starting players out. Those are usually the teams that don't make it to the Super Bowl. They change what they're doing. Well, we got to rest them up. No, you're getting out of rhythm. Stay in rhythm. Stay in routine. Keep doing what got you to where you are. You're more prone to stay healthy by continuing than you are stopping. Did you ever notice if you... Did you ever go on vacation and first couple days you don't feel real good? You're so used to going and 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 going that when you finally do stop, everything just shuts down. You usually get sick or don't feel good for a while. Because your body's so used to going, at least mine is. My wife, my family, they laugh at me. We go on vacation. I sleep at the bed closest to the door so I can get up and get out of there early in the morning while everybody else is snoring, amen? I get up about the same time on vacation as I do the rest of the year. You say, why? Because I've got to or I'll get sick. I really do. I get up, I work, I take work with me, I grab a briefcase and go out the door and go find a place in a hotel somewhere or wherever, and I work. You say, why? Because that's relaxing to me. Now, the rest of the time, yeah, I can try to slow down. It doesn't always work, but I try. You stay successful the way you got successful. Let's keep our relationship with God so open that He wants to keep doing things for us. Have you enjoyed begging God to help you do things and enjoyed seeing Him answer? Then why stop? Why is it that we stop once we get what we first asked for? Did you know there's a whole lot more to ask for? So let's keep that communication. Let's keep calling on Him so that He can do things that we don't even know He's going to do. Let's keep working hard at our jobs, working hard at tithing, working hard at God blessing our finances. And I mean this, getting our own personal finances squared away so that we can help the work of God better. Amen. I know people that wish they could give more to God, but their personal finances are so screwed up they can't. And I'm not mad at them, but let's get everything, get our house in order so we can take care of the house of God. Everybody doing all right? Let's be faithful to church. Let's sanctify, separate ourselves. Let's be wise in how God works in our life. Can I tell you something? We can keep this thing perpetuating by keep talking to Him. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Okay, we've gotten the financial end. We can keep asking for that, but we all got to also, as I preached this morning, let's keep every family start reaching a family. God give us a family. God give us a family. God help our family to reach a family. God help me to reach somebody and get them to church and teach them. And God, let's keep this thing going. Isn't that what it's all about? I'm not worried about the financial ledger. God will take care of that. I want us to reach every person we can. If we'll get so focused on reaching people, God will take care of the rest. And that's what it's all about. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. It doesn't say Facebook. Doesn't say just post it on Facebook. It'd do us good to pick up the phone, call somebody, not just put it out on a text or what do you call those things on Twitter? A tweet. Or posting it on Facebook or whatever we do. Call somebody. Tell somebody. Look them square in the face and say, look what God did at my church. Look what God did. You know, the world will look at you like, ooh. But can I tell you something? They need to hear what God did. Maybe they'll show up to see what God's doing. Not many churches can say, look what God did.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Brother Stoltz said he told somebody today. They said, oh. Good Christian people. Oh. It's been so long since they seen God do anything that they didn't know what to say, amen? Bless God, I'm about to have a spell.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? I get excited about seeing God work. Can I tell you what blesses me? I'm going to tell a story. Fred and Wally wanted to give something. They committed last Sunday morning to give something for the building program. They didn't have anything to give. Monday, right? Cross my heart and hope Brother Fred dies. But Monday, they're sitting down getting ready for dinner, and a car pulled in the driveway. Guy came to the door. She opened the door, and he said, are you Wally Skaggs? Yes. Hand her a checkbook. Had a bunch of money. She had something, some kind of insurance policy came due and paid off. They were able to give some money for the building program. Pay a bunch of things off, and God took care of them.
Amen.
They didn't know it was coming. God did. God did. I know somebody in this church. They asked God for a specific amount. God gave it to them exactly to the penny. I can't tell you how. I just can tell you it happened. I know somebody else. They wanted to give. They couldn't. But I said, it's okay. You just keep giving in your regular tithes. God needs us to keep that going. And God gave a bunch of overtime for them. And God's going to bless that way.
Amen.
That's God. Can I tell you something? I told my wife, I was weeping the other day just about. Watching you all get a hold of God and watch God answer your prayers is more to me than any number of dollars given. Seeing that God's real and God hears and God answers, that means more to me than anything. Now, did we need what we got? Yes, we do. But can I tell you this? God's quite able to finance His work if we'll just do our part. I'd rather us have the good relationship with God than a bunch of money sitting in a bank somewhere. I really would. Because if we have this right, this works out. Amen. I don't know how else to say it. Yes, when this is right, this works out. When it comes to His work, I promise you.
Amen.
I promise you. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. dear friend of mine, Brother Bulkley, today, he said, truly, you're a blessed man of God, Brother Bush. He said, your people are blessed people of God. Brother Arcola, he said, preacher, he said, it's amazing what God's doing. He said, you're encouraging my church and don't even know it.
Amen.
I could go on and on. Brother Rick Walters was here Thursday and I sat across the table from him and his assistant. And he just sobbed. He said, we were out on the property walking around. Brother Barnes, you were out there. We got to this crazy restaurant and tears were running down his face. He said, Brother Bush, I'm so happy for you. He said, I just can't believe it. He said, we pastors, he said, we understand. He said, I could see that building sitting there. I could see the cars. He said, I could see the bus. He said, I can hear the bus kids. I said, me too. Sitting on the bus honking the horn, he started laughing. And he could envision it. And yet he sit there and he said, I got to get my building up. He said, pray with me. I got to get mine up. He said, had to tear the floor out. Cost me $25,000 more to do the floor this year. He said, and I'm so far behind on it. They timbered out part of their property. And they're going to use the logs as the main beams in their building. And just a big, big project. We were coming back from dinner and his phone rang. He says, look at her. He said, the floor just got done. He said, there's hope. And a little bit of life was breathed back into him. Can I tell you something? We're all in this thing. Let's just call unto Him and let God work through us. Let's keep this right, and everything else is going to keep on going. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.